In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We find ourselves on this Sunday in Cana of Galilee. We remember very well Cana because it is where our Lord performed his first miracle, transforming water into wine at a marriage feast. Now, he has returned to Cana to convert the people present. In Cana, our Lord is approached by a ruler. Some authors say that this ruler may have been an officer of King Herod's, others that he was one of Caesar's household. This man asks our Lord to come down and heal his son, who was on the point of death with a fever. What was this deadly fever that afflicted his son? For St. Thomas Aquinas, this fever was sin. He sees the human soul as a kingdom, where the king represents our human reason. This king governs and rules his subjects. Likewise, the reason governs the passions and affections and directs them to God. In this gospel, the ruler lacks the authority of the king, and so he represents a weaker reason which cannot control the passions. And so what follows from this is that the soul deviates from right reason. It deviates from the good and is attracted to what is evil. The result is sin, which is represented by the illness in the man's son. The comparison between sin and illness is rather fitting. We do not say that a person is healthy with the fever that happens to be added on top. Rather, by being ill, this person is lacking good health. He is deprived of good health. And sin, as an evil, is a privation of good. As a word, deed, or desire in opposition to the eternal law of God, according to the expression of St. Augustine, sin, in opposing itself to God, is also the turning away from the immutable good, which is none other than God himself. Therefore, by the willful accomplishment of a sinful act, we decrease the charity that is within us. This charity is the love of God by which we are united to him and participate in his divine life within us. We hear St. Paul in his epistle to the Ephesians that Christ dwells by faith in our hearts. We must not forget that this presence is also rooted and founded in charity, according to the words of the same apostle. Our spiritual life is thus so very dependent on the charity within our souls. Let us then strive to not lose it. Many of us know how to say the act of charity. O my God, I love you above all things with my whole heart and soul, because you are all good and worthy of all my love. Since sin, according to St. Augustine, is an aversion from God through conversion to a creature, we basically say to God, through sin, that we do not love him above all things. We are saying to him that we do not love him the most, because there just happens to be something that has really caught our attention. If the created good that we have preferred before God radically opposes our love for him as our true end, then the sin becomes mortal. However, we hear that venial sin weakens charity from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It manifests a disordered affection for created goods. It impedes the soul's progress in the exercise of the virtues and the practice of the moral good, and it merits temporal punishment. Simply put, it weakens our spiritual life. It renders us sick. We end up with a spiritual fever like that of the ruler's son in the gospel today. How then do we get better? Just as we visit a physician when we are sick with a bad fever, we too need the intervention of the divine physician when our souls are sick. Just as the nobleman asked our Lord to heal his son, we too need to ask Jesus to heal our sins. We need to ask God, in union with the psalmist in Psalm 40, "Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you." We need to approach our Lord for healing, especially in the channels of grace which he has so designated, especially through the sacrament of confession. God, in his infinite mercy and power, will hear us. He will help us. Why would we believe that he cannot? We have heard just 2 weeks ago of his power to forgive sins. Our Lord healed the paralytic man, saying, "Arise, take up your pallet, and go to your house." He performed this miracle so that we may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Similarly, our Lord says to this ruler, "Go, your son will live." And his son was healed, and healed instantly. His recovery did not take place in an ordinary way, but all at once, says St. John Chrysostom, in order that it might be seen to be Christ's doing, and not the result of nature. The servants tell this ruler that his son was cured of his fever on the seventh hour. This detail, that the fever left him in the seventh hour, is not trivial. The number seven signifies the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost through whom sins are forgiven and spiritual life is produced and restored in the soul, notes St. Thomas. Therefore, let us not be ignorant of the great gift we have received from God. We have received through our baptism the seed of a supernatural life, founded by faith, rooted in charity, leading us to rejoice with God in heaven after death. We should take great care of what has been given us. Let us avoid weakening our spiritual life by willful and deliberate venial sin, which manifests that we love something other than God, that we would prefer some other created good than to be with the infinite goodness itself in heaven. But should we fall, let us confidently pick ourselves up and return to God and rekindle the charity which has waned from our sins. Our resources are so plentiful. We have the sacraments, sources of grace, which, as we read in the secret for today's Mass, are our heavenly medicine and which expel evil from our hearts. And finally, let us pray, pray, and pray. Since we know that God can heal our souls of its spiritual maladies, let us run to Him when we risk straying from the path. Let us ask Him, in union with Holy Mother Church, in the collect for today's Mass, to graciously grant us forgiveness and peace, that we may be cleansed of all sin, and serve Him with minds free from care. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.